Let's turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. Does everybody have some notes? Everybody got one of those? Hopefully, you put your prayer requests on there. We're in Proverbs chapter 6 this week. We're going to go a little bit chapter by chapter. We'll just kind of do what the Lord wants to do in each one. Maybe we'll stay a little while. Last week we kind of covered all of chapter 5. I'm not going to always do that, but we'll see what happens. So in chapter 6, we're going to start with the first couple verses here. Bible says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with the stranger, thou art snared. With the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Let's pray together as we get started tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we study your word. Lord, we might receive some of this wisdom from that you gave Solomon to give to his sons and pass it on. You preserved it for us. Lord, I pray that we would glean something from it that would give us some understanding, so give us some wisdom in our lives and some of your direction. And Father, pray that you'd have your way tonight. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, number one there, being surety for someone. Being surety. So the meaning of surety is to take someone else's place. It's to take their place. We're talking about this thing, kind of like earnest. We might think of it like that, and kind of in some of this kind of sense. In this case, we're talking about taking the responsibility or accountability for someone else. And so we're finding this situation that Solomon is here giving advice to his son in regard to bad decisions. You ever made a bad decision? You ever found yourself in the middle of a bad deal that you made? You made a bad deal. You made a deal, and and you found yourself there. And this is kind of what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. Look at B. I'm going to run into the trouble of getting ahead of myself, and then I'm going to have to repeat it. So I'm just going to jump back in here. So B, there are several things we can learn from this passage. But we have to make sure that we don't try to learn what isn't there. Okay? So sometimes what we want to do, or not what we want to do, but maybe it is what we end up doing in the Scripture, we start to read something, and we read into it what we think it's going to say. You know what I mean? I know where this is going. And then we go there before, and that's not really where it's going. It's going somewhere else. So we want to kind of, sometimes we don't want to read in what isn't there. We want to try to see what is there. What's the wisdom actually given to us? In other words, number one, this is not a law. Okay? Or an absolute. It is not a doctrine, okay? It's a proverb on getting involved in a business deal with a friend. Listen, the proverbs are patterns, not absolutes. Amen? Proverbs are not promises, okay? Raise up in a child in the way they should go when they are old, they will not depart from them, right? Well, but sometimes they do, right? So what about this? Hey, listen, if thou drinkest water, thou shalt be sick. That's a proverb. I just made it up. If thou drinkest dirty water, thou shalt be sick. Now, you may not always get sick drinking that dirty water, but most often that will be the case. So it's a good pattern of wisdom to follow. If there's dirty water, don't drink it. Right? That's kind of what a proverb is. It's a piece of wisdom that says, listen, here's a situation. And this is a lot of the times this is how a situation is going to go. Doesn't mean it's law. Doesn't mean it's an absolute. Every time this happens, that's going to... No, because some water's dirty. I was hiking. We were hiking up the... crazy stuff. Going up Pike's Peak, and you can't carry enough water. You'd have to have just a truckload. You know what I mean? You can't, because you're drinking so much water, because you're just pouring sweat, right? And so what we had to do is the first time we went, we got these chlorine tablets. That's disgusting. So we'd go and get this bottle of water, put this chlorine tablet in there. What you're supposed to do is let it air out for like 15 minutes. But we're thirsty. So we didn't wait. We put it in there a little bit. We're like, all right, come on. And then you're getting nauseous. You're going up. Oh, it was terrible. So the second time we got this deal that you actually put a straw in it, and you can drink it right through that. And it's a filter, and you squeeze it through. We went in there. We got some dirty water. I mean, dirty water just flowing down. It's like right next to dirt. It's mud right there, and we're getting that water. So what I'm saying is this, folks. Oftentimes, I shouldn't. Now, if I had to drink that water without that straw, I'd have been sick. But that doesn't mean every time. And so this is what I want you to... I'm trying to give you an illustration so we can understand how a proverb works. It's not a promise. It's not a saying this is an absolute. It's not an every time. So let's don't learn that from this. Because that's not what it's teaching. That's my point with that. See, we have here the case of being surety for someone else. So, number one, you have become the collateral, okay? You're the collateral, right? Somebody else, a friend, made a deal with somebody and some kind of arrangement, and you became their insurance, right? You're the collateral. So, A, you're putting yourself in their place of accountability. Okay? So, instead of them being accountable, you are being surety for them, and so you're going to be in that place of accountability instead of them. So, number two, the idea here is of a hasty decision. A hasty decision. Notice what it says again in verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with the stranger. So he's talking about this thing about stricken thy hand. What do you think that means? Yeah, he's shaking on it, right? Remember back in the day when you'd shake on it and there was a deal? Right? It was a long time. It was way before my day. You know what I mean? Back in the day, we'd say, all right, it's a deal, right? When we were kids, we'd do that. Okay, it's a deal. Now, if you did, it was a deal. It was a deal. A deal's a deal, right? We would do that. That was a good thing. That's really what it's talking about. You're stricken hands with one another. You've agreed upon a deal. So, this deal was made with a stranger for your friend. So then, number three. The situation here is that you have vouched for a friend with a stranger. Okay? So you vouch for them. Look here. Let's start with this scenario. Your friend, it's A under that. Your friend doesn't have the credit on his own, so he wants to use yours. Right? He doesn't have credit, so he wants to use yours. I've done this before on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Everybody's familiar. Some of y'all are like, I don't know it. Facebook has a sales thing like an eBay or whatever you want to call it, Marketplace, and you can make deals through that, through Facebook, so you kind of know it's real people. Anyway, we've bought and sold things today. You can usually get a good deal, used stuff, right? And sometimes, you know, I've tried to sell a vehicle or something. Somebody says, hey, can you take, you know, so much money down and I'll make you payments on it? I don't even know you. I'm going to give you my car and you're going to, I'd like to, but I had this and the bank wouldn't, you know. Think about this. If a bank which is actually in the business of making money off of loaning money, will not extend credit to this friend. Why should you? You ever thought about that? Like the banks, that's what the bank does. That's like what they do for a living, is they make money off of lending money. That's the whole thing. And somebody says, yeah, the bank won't lend me money. Would you? Okay, so the people that do this for a living say, you're a bad risk. And so you want me that doesn't really have money to do this for a living to do that. Isn't that kind of weird? When you think about what somebody's asking you to do sometimes. So you go back home. Here's the scenario. You go back home. You've made this deal, right? You've made this deal. You struck hands, right? It's the deal. And then you go back home. Number four, you go back home and someone with some sense, right? Someone with a lick of sense, maybe that's not emotionally involved. You see somebody, or maybe they say something like this. What are you doing? Right? That's number four. What are you doing? So he said, yeah, I did this, and what? Why would you? You know what I'm saying? That kind of scenario comes in. Somebody with a lick of sense that's removed from that situation says, why would you do that? Maybe like a dad or a husband or a mom. What? You know, you better get back down over there. And kids, I remember kids used to trade cars or baseball cards. Y'all remember those? When I was a kid, you trade that stuff. And you'd always be like really, really pumped and excited when you got a really good deal because some other kid's a knucklehead. And you traded him for his rookie star and you got this, common. And you got it, you're like, and then the moms find out and they're like, you better trade them. And you're like, man, I got a good deal. And so this is kind of, except for it's more than just kids' baseball cards. It's kind of some kind of situation. Now you found yourself in a trap. That's what verse 2 says it this way. Just watch what it says here. Thou art snared. Watch this next part. With the words of thy mouth. Listen, by the way, it's not the surety. It's not just the situation of being the responsible one. It's the words of your mouth. It's what happened here. It says thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Listen, you've walked into a trap by agreeing with this deal. It was the words of your mouth that have entrapped you. My mom used to say to me, your mouth's going to get you into trouble, boy. She used to say that a lot when I was a kid. And she was right. I still remember. I was preparing this, and as I was preparing this, I haven't even mentioned that for a long time, but I remember that. I thought, man, my mom used to say that a lot. Your mouth's going to get you in trouble. I was mouthy as a kid. Y'all can probably imagine. And so, if y'all know my kids, I just know where they got it from. No, I'm kidding. This is what's happening. The mouth is what got the trap, right? Let's ask the question, why would we get ourselves into such a foolish deal such as this? So that's, I think it's a good thing to ask. Why would the mouth do this? Why would we find ourselves in this kind of situation? Well, often it's what? What? Pride. Pride. Often it's pride. We want to be the hero. We want to be the savior. We want to be the rescuer. I can help you. No, I can help you. I can help you. Right? Don't you like, doesn't that kind of feel, I can do that for you. I can help you. Right? Doesn't that feel good? We kind of, just feel a little proud and tell, I can help you. And so sometimes our mouth writes checks that our life can't cash, right? This is what we're talking about here. This is the kind of thing that this is coming about. And it comes to that place of some pride. And, we also like to be the needed one. We like to be needed. There's a whole thing of this. It's called being an enabler. right? An enabler. There's a whole part of with Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a group called Al-Anon. And I don't even know what it, I can't remember what it all stands for, but it's really about these that enable people to do wrong. And they realize I've got a problem because I am helping you to be, and so they got to find out, man, I'm just as much the problem as the one that has the problem. And there's this whole kind of situation. But sometimes I found this over and over and over in life. A lot of times we just like to be the enabler because I want to be needed. Like to be needed. And sometimes we actually cause people to be in a bad way so that they need us. Sounds like a trap, doesn't it? It's just a bad situation. Sometimes, and here's C, and I want to give this to, sometimes we just didn't think it through or understand what was happening. I think we could be guilty of that. A lot of times, you know, you'll say, yeah, that's fine. And then, you know, now as I'm getting this part of my life, my wife said, you didn't understand what he said, did you? Huh? Did I just say, you know, I don't think you didn't hear him, Mike, because he said, I'm like, oh, well, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, part of not being able to hear so well, you just kind of nod along with people. Yeah, all right. And sometimes my wife said, no, that's not a yeah, all right. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? And you just lent them money. No, but... So I think sometimes it could be a thing of sometimes we just didn't think it through. Somebody says this, oh yeah, yeah, and don't think it through. I like to best I can give people a little space to change their mind. I think it's a generous thing to do. Is when I ask you, hey, can you do this? And you say, yeah, I'll do that, and then. You go home and you know, talk to somebody that has some sense and say, you know what I mean? And they say, you shouldn't have committed to that. You already have something else scheduled. You're doing too much. I know you've said to your friend you'd do this, but you're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be doing this. Listen, your health, I know you used to do those things. I'm fine, and I'm working on this, my house. I'm fine. It's a really weird thing. Stuff I used to be able to pick up and just kind of yank through. Ow, that hurt. I can, now I'm like, the strength is just not there. What happened to it? You know, it's just part of, and so sometimes you're kind of getting into something that you realize, you know, I can't do it. And so it's good to give a little space to, for somebody to come back and say, you know what, I said I was, but I'm not going to be able to do that. And it's okay. Hey, that's all right. I understand. But I'm saying that from the pulpit here. I want you, if you make a commitment, say, hey, I made a commitment to this. We're gonna get to something here in just a second. This is fun. Because it is fun. I like to find stuff. And by the way, I'm not trying to go look for stuff like this. But sometimes we come across stuff in the Bible that we think is a way that we ought to do, but the Bible says it's different than the way we think. Our culture sometimes clashes with the Scriptures, right? And our culture gets in there and it's like, well, yeah, but this, I'm a good American, right? Well, okay, but I want to please God first. So look here, number two, what it isn't. Okay, A, this isn't about you getting a loan for yourself, okay? This isn't a passage of why you shouldn't take out a loan or a mortgage, nothing to do with that. Again, it's not a law that says you should never vouch for someone else. This isn't a law that says never vouch for someone else. That's not what it is either. This isn't instruction not to help other people, okay? Let's don't make, well, the Bible says we're not, I'm sorry, I can't help you. No, that's not what this is. It's not a instruction to not give a reference. Okay? Number two, in short, we could look at the Apostle Paul that gave himself as surety to Philemon to put Onesimus' charges onto his account. We're not going to look there, but it's in Philemon chapter 18. He says, and we know that the phrase, the saying, he says, put that on my account, Paul said. He said, put whatever he owes you, put. He doesn't even know what all he owes. He did this thing here, but this, listen, but that was a thought through, chosen and wise decision. It wasn't one that his mouth got him in trouble. He said, listen, here's a brother that was a slave. He ran away. He cost you. And he said, you know what? I'm going to repay it so he can come back and make his life right with you. Different situation, okay? So what I'm saying is this, it isn't a law that says we should never help somebody, we should never be a surety for somebody, we should never do, no, it's a principle of what's going to come out of our mouth. We need to think through it. Now, number three, what do you do when you make a bad decision? Okay, look at number three. Y'all ready for this? Like, I've been waiting for this one. Number three, verse three rather. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. Okay? Don't you like that when he's just real clear? He said, you know what you do? When you found yourself there, do this and you'll deliver thyself. He says this, when thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Okay, he said this, when you find yourself there, A, get out of it. When you make a bad deal, go get out of it. This is quite different, though, isn't it? It's really quite different because usually we have the thinking that, well, I need to keep my word. I made a deal. Well, that's a bad deal. Well, I made it. I got to keep it. Isn't that kind of how our thinking goes a lot? That's kind of American culture. Maybe we can maybe add that to Christian culture. But I'm telling you, Solomon's saying here, listen, if you found yourself in this deal, you found yourself in trap because of your mouth, right? He said, you've promised what you shouldn't have. And you realize you're in a trap now. He says, go get yourself out of it. We made a decision. Now we have to go deal with it. This is sometimes how we want to think. Well, I made a bad deal. This is a bad deal. Well, I made it. I just got to deal with it. Right? You ever said that? Yeah, we have. We've said that. We found ourselves there. And you know what? We said that thinking we're doing right. But no. The biblical wisdom here is to get out of it. To get out of that bad deal. Listen, here's the thing. This not only puts you and your name in jeopardy, but also your family. You maybe committed something. You maybe get yourself into some situation where you've put yourself up as collateral. Maybe it's your wealth. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's just your good name. Whatever it might be, you put yourself. And don't you like how the scripture is so generic that it could fit a lot of scenarios? Right? It's not for one situation, it's for a lot. It's pretty broad. He doesn't go into exactly what it is. He said it's just with a friend, with a stranger. You see, you got this deal. Solomon told his son, go to that friend and deliver thyself. Deliver thyself. I want you to see something here, though. This is it. You ever got tricked into a bad deal? I mean, you know, maybe it's just over a candy bar. You know, hey, our kids will try, hey, I'll let you play at this toy if you let me play at that toy. And then, yeah, okay. And that's a toy that's broke. you're the one with the broke toy. And you know what the kid with the broke toy usually does? What's he do? He gets what? Mad. You get mad. And, you know, sometimes if it's boys, it's probably fighting mad. Right? This is typically, by the way, and then as we get older, we have really the same behaviors. It's just not about broken toys anymore. Maybe it's a broken car. Right? Maybe it's a broken, you know, deal. Man, you said you was going to do it, and we got it. So I want you to see when we get into this situation, how do we get out of it? He gives us this. So how do we get out of this? Okay, B, notice how to get out of this. Number one. We do not go and get angry with them for tricking us. Okay? So, one thing is we do not get angry. This is what the scripture's telling us. Maybe they did trick us, maybe they didn't. I don't know if that's the case. And sometimes we don't know. I mean, you know, when you realize you got in a bad deal, we...
can sometimes jump to the conclusion that the other people did it on purpose. Right? We sometimes jump to that right away. So the scripture is going to tell us, we're going to find something here. The counsel, number two, the counsel here is to go in what? Humility. To go in humility. It says to humble thyself. Right? Go humble thyself. Listen, admitting a mistake, watch this, is super difficult, isn't it? Don't you like to go up and tell everybody, yeah, I was really wrong on that? Who likes to do that? Weird people. Something's wrong with it. I just made a really huge mistake. That deal I got into with you, I shouldn't have done that. Watch this. Especially when you just enjoyed being the hero and the savior. Right? I just enjoyed telling, yeah, I'm going to help you with this thing. And then you come back and you're like, I can't. I got to get out of that. I should not have put myself out there. I should not have put myself in the way of your responsibility. I should have, that's tough. I'd rather be the hero than the zero. But humbling myself is to be the zero. It's not to say, hey, you know, I would have done it. I just, you know, I've got other things. No. He said this. He says, we go humble ourselves. Come to your friend and humble yourself. Number three, this will not be easy to get out of as it was to get into. Right? My mouth got me into it. My humility is hard. It is hard. Not like this, what we're talking about here. Especially when humility is hard when I did something stupid and I got to back my way out of it. Listen, I went in and I did this, and now I've got to say, you know, I'm really, really sorry. I shouldn't have done this. Can you let me out of it? And I know I'd made this deal with you, and I know we did, and I shook with your friend and with this guy, this guy, but I've got to get out of it because I can't do it because I don't really have the money. And you know, you're trying to say, well, you think it really goes like that? Well, watch what he says here in, where are we at there? Verse, or number eight. But we should not cease to get out of this entangling arrangement. Now look at verse 4. He says, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of a hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Man, this is getting serious. Wow. Sometimes you're going and like, I get it, and all of a sudden this has gotten really serious. This is to be handled as an animal trapped for their life. You ever seen a deer caught in something? I've seen them like caught in a windshield or something. They will kick the people to death in the car trying to get out of that windshield. It's happened. You know, they'll go when they're trapped and they're trying to rescue their life, they'll kill themselves trying to escape. I mean, it's just, he said, this is what he's talking about here. Listen, don't just walk back and say, you know, I tried. They said I can't get out of it. Right? That kind of sounds like something we do, isn't it? You go back in that store and tell them, you know, and you're like, you go back in the store. Yeah, I noticed you charged me too much. And they said, yeah, sorry, you can't refund. Yeah, I tried. They wouldn't take it. Right? You ever done that kind of thing? You're like, yeah, I tried. No. He said, listen, this is something that when you find yourself in this deal, by the way, let's don't, I'm saying other things, but let's don't lose the fact that somehow we got into something because of our mouth. We got into something, we committed, we said something without thinking it through. Man, this is meant to be gotten out of with great pain. It's you get out of this thing. There's number two under there. There's no greater way to help you to not repeat a mistake than for it to be so agonizing that it burns a remembrance in your mind. You ever done something really, really stupid and painful? And you just, you know, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that again. So sometimes it needs to be a little painful.
And you know what the pain here is? It's weird. The pain here is to humble ourselves. The pain here is to say, you know what, I made a mistake. There's a fellow, I'm about done. You see, you can tell I'm about done here. There's a fellow that we had moved into this house. We moved next door. There's some folks in our neighborhood, and we had these little kids, there's about four kids. They'd run around. I mean, I think there's about a five-year-old kid. He'd run around at midnight barefoot. This is in Nebraska, you know. And anyway, we got saved. We got them in vacation Bible school, the kids, and then the parents got saved. They got in, and so they had teenagers. There's about four of these kids, and so Dad got saved and began to do things different. And the kids were like, "Well, we didn't do." He said, "Preacher, what do I do?" You know, I said, "Listen, you're gonna have to go, and you're gonna have to tell your kids, Dad was wrong. Dad was doing things his way, not God's way. But now we're going to do things God's way, not Dad's way." I said, if you want to get through this thing, because tell a kid, no, we're just doing it different now. Well, that's, you know, humility is painful sometimes. And for, you know, for Dad to go, yeah. And you know, he went and did it. He came back and said, "I did it, man. It's so great." Now the kid, at least they understand. And I'm telling you, it can be painful. But you know what? It burns a memory, an image. So I don't want to go through that again. And sometimes this is what God wants to listen. When you find yourself in this, we don't just say, "Oh, well, I guess I better just suck it up, buttercup, and deal with it." No, he says, go get out of that thing. You got yourself in a mess by your mouth. Man, that mouth is terrible, isn't it? James deals with that too. And we're going to get to that. Listen, tonight, just some practical advice tonight on how to deal with our foolish decisions. Does the Bible have answers for everything? Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to give us instruction and direction in our lives. Lord, we are such imperfect people. Lord, we need your guidance. And so thankful tonight that you give us this wisdom to help us in this life. Lord, even though we're destined to that life, that eternal life, Lord, we're still here walking through this earth. And so I pray that you'd continue to help us. Lord, help us to receive this wisdom that you're passing on to us, that we might pass it on to others. And Lord, I pray that you would have your way now. And thank you for it all in Jesus' name.